Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. Paul said, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. I want to talk to us tonight about the cost of sin and the gift of God. The cost of sin and the gift of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't that the truth? There's a cost to sin. But I want to tell you, the gift of God, it's amazing. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray that God would touch us, speak to us here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. I thank you for your people that are gathered here tonight. I pray that your Spirit would be upon us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us, challenge us, strengthen us. Lord, I pray that you would move in our lives and move in this city. I pray that you would bless our efforts for this weekend. Help us to pack this place out, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would fall and your anointing would move, that your power would touch and minister to every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you the glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. God bless you. You may be seated. Remember tonight, because we're missing quite a few of our young people, you're going to have to say amen twice as loud, clack just about twice as much. Amen. Pray a little harder tonight. How many of you have ever fallen for the free trial? The free trial. You weren't really ready to commit, but you kind of wanted to try things out, and so you agreed to the free trial, and then you forgot to cancel it. And the next thing you know, $9.99 or $19.99 or $49.99 or maybe more is coming out of your account every month. You want to just kind of try things for free, but it cost you more than you thought it ever would. I remember years ago, the kids were smaller, and I kept seeing this charge on my account. It was about $20 or something, and the first time I saw it, I didn't recognize it. I was like, what is that? And I thought, well, I'm sure it's something. And then I got busy and forgot to check it. And then the next month, same thing happened, and then several months, and I just kind of got used to seeing it. One day I was like, wait a second, what is this? And I had to do like a Google search and everything, I really had to investigate what this was. Come to find out, one of the kids had been playing some kind of game on the phone, and they had signed up for a subscription. And you know, to them, pay, well, you know, this was back, it was a little easier to do this, I guess, and it didn't mean anything to them, so they just clicked, yeah, pay for it. And so here we were every month, but it was over a year, and $300-something later, we learned about the free trial, you know. Years ago, I heard this poem, and it was so true. It still is true. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is the ultimate when we're talking about a free trial that is never really free. It may seem pretty great at the first. It may look really attractive. And in the beginning, it's fun, it's exciting, it's pleasing to our flesh. But sin always takes us further than what we wanted to go. It keeps us longer than what we wanted to stay. And it always costs more than we wanted to pay. In case somebody here tonight has had that temptation to be playing around with sin and thinking, well, that free trial, it really looks too good to resist. Is there anybody you can testify to the fact tonight you've learned about this maybe the hard way? You've been there. You've done that. Come on, can anybody testify? The free trial with sin, it's never free. Come on, don't trust sin. Don't give in to it, no matter how good it looks. Don't chase after it. There's only destruction there. Sin has a price tag. The true cost is never communicated up front. But sin always has a price tag, and sin always overcharges. Our text tonight says the wages of sin is death. When we work for sin, our wages, our pay is death. When we're a slave to sin, the cost ultimately is death. One Bible scholar wrote, "Oh, what pains men take to get to hell. Early and late they toil at sin, and would not divine justice be in their debt if it did not pay them their due wages?" In other words, people are working at sin. They're working at devoting themselves to the pursuit of sin, and there is a cost to it. The wages they're earning, the reward that they're building up, the cost of sin is death. Now, that's never communicated up front, though. In the beginning, sin is all about fun, and there's a reason why people sin. There's a reason why people sin. There's an element of fun to it in the beginning. Why do people like to party? Why do people want to party? Because they're desperate for an escape from the pain they're living in. And for a little while, they can check out. They can block out their troubles. They can act like everything is fine. They forget about all their problems for a little while, but then the party's over. And not only do they have a hangover, but all of their problems are still there, and they're actually bigger than ever now. The enemy loves to sell sin, but he never communicates the true cost. Kids that grow up in church really make great customers for sin because they don't know the true cost of it. They've not seen it firsthand, and they've seen the blessings of God, and they don't realize that not everybody lives with that divine favor, and they can't really imagine the depth of suffering that this world truly lives in. They don't know. They really don't know how much in debt to sin they're opening themselves up to. And because they're not educated in the ways of the world, Satan takes them on a trip where they learn life's lessons real, real hard, and they experience things that they'll never forget, things that they should never have had knowledge of, but the enemy promised them a fun ride and didn't tell them the cost. I've heard kids in the church before make declarations like, you know, well, when I'm 18, I'll do what I want to. When I'm an adult, I don't have to go to church anymore. I'll just go out in the world. And they don't have a clue what they're opening themselves up to. By their own words, they are giving the enemy the right to make them a slave. They've spoken it themselves. And when they hit 18, I want to tell you, sin comes calling. Sin comes calling to collect what's due. If those are words we've ever spoken, if that's something we've ever said, we need to say, God, I repent. I renounce those words that I said about not living for you. And Lord, forgive me. Free me of that curse. Amen. Free me of that. I don't want to have to pay that price. Don't raise your hand to this, but have you ever written a check that you didn't have money to cover? You know, checks are cashed pretty fast these days, but years ago, you could write a check on Monday, and it might be, you know, Thursday or Friday before it came through, maybe even next week if you got lucky. And a lot of people, they'd write a check, and then they'd have to go find the money to cover it before the check came through. And people got in trouble for writing hot checks. They'd say, I'll just write a check for it, but those checks come due. And what we're doing today, how we live, the things we let ourselves get involved in, we are writing checks that our future has to cash. We can try to put it off, and we can try to just skip it, but the payment is going to come due, and there will be a reckoning one day. Sin looks free at first. We're just having fun. We're just trying some new things. We're just experimenting a little bit here and just kind of stepping over some lines of holiness. We're just dressing a little like the world. We're just watching a few things that we used to not watch. And we're just getting a little more comfortable hanging out with that wild crowd that do things out in the world. And sin always starts looking out fun, but it never shows us the bill up front. Hebrews talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. Why did the prodigal son ever go down the road of sin? Because it promised a great time. Jesus said he took his inheritance and he traveled to a far country. He wanted to get as far away from home that he could. And there he wasted everything he had, living a foolish and reckless life. And no doubt it was fun while it lasted. That was the allure of it. That's what drew it to him to it in the beginning. It was a great time until it wasn't. The only job he could find was feeding pigs. And Luke 15:16 says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. In the beginning, Brother Drew, he was the big shot. Everybody wanted to be around him, to go to the party where he'd be at. And here he was. He was paying for everything. He was footing the bill. He had lots of friends, but they weren't really his friends. That's the thing about the world. It's never what it seems. It pulls you in, and by the time you find out that it's all a lie, it's hard to turn around and get free from that. And when his money ran out, when the fun ended, when he needed help himself, no man gave unto him. He was alone. He was helpless. That's the cost of sin. That's the end of sin. James 1:14 tells us, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Temptation will come, and there's something that appeals to our flesh. That's why we're tempted. Sin entices, it baits us, it lures us in, and the flesh can be so powerful. I feel like sometimes it's not even so much the enemy. It's like people, their flesh is so strong, it's almost like they're practically begging Satan to tempt them. They want to do those things. There's a desire that's so strong in their heart, and they're drawn to sin by their own desires. If that's the case in our life, we need to pray, God, Lord, take away those desires. Take away those desires. Give me new desires, Lord. Come on, Lord, I know that I want the wrong things. Change me, Lord. Deliver me. Joel chapter 2, verse 32 tells us, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Shall be delivered. If you'll call on the Lord, I believe he'll hear your cry. Just be honest with him. Come on, Lord, I've got to have a change of heart. I've got to have a change of mind. I don't want the same things that I used to want. I don't want to desire those things of the world. Lord, change me. Get a hold of me. Do a work in my life. Call on the name of the Lord and he will deliver. Oh, come on, don't stop calling on him until he does. Psalm 55 and verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. If you're in that desperate place, I want to challenge you every morning, every noontime, every evening, call upon the Lord and say, God, change my heart. Make me want the things of God more than I want the things of the world. Take away these old desires. Lord, transform me and make me more like you. But when lust hath conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is finished, when it's full grown, it brings forth death. That's the end of sin. That's where it leads, no matter how good it looks in the beginning. No matter how fun it seems, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And people think, well, surely that doesn't apply to me. Somehow I can get out of that. No, it applies to all of us. The wages of sin is death. The first part of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. When we sin, we're responsible. We can't blame it on somebody else. We have to pay that price. And what is that price? It's spiritual death. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God told them, he said, the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Satan directly challenged the word of God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan still tries the same lie. Instead of sin being something evil, Satan wants us to believe sin is something good. And God's this mean person trying to keep us from this thing that's so good that we desire and we want. But the day they ate of that tree, something in them died spiritually. And they were separated from the presence of God. And sin still brings separation from his presence. The cost of sin is spiritual death. The soul that sins, it will die. Even though Satan had lied to them, they still had to face the consequences of sin. It doesn't matter what somebody else says, how misinformed they were. We still have to face our sin. It's kind of like people who get a speeding ticket. And the court date comes and goes. And they think, well, I'll just be all right. I'll just kind of, nobody knows where I'm at. And I'll just, no, they're going to get you. They're going to get you. It's not probably going to be at a convenient time for you either. I remember one time. We were traveling. We were on a family trip and going through Arkansas and Damascus. Anybody that's been through Damascus, don't go fast through there. And got pulled over. I don't even think I got a ticket, but the man said, hey, you've got a warrant out for your arrest. And I was like, what? And, he's like, can you get out of the car? I was like, oh, boy. And so he called me back to the car, talked to me a little bit about it, and I think he understood something was wrong, so anyway, he let me go. But come to find out, I had paid the ticket, and the court hadn't done the right paperwork, and here I was. I could have spent the night in jail for something I'd already paid. So just go ahead and make sure you take good care of it, and then call back and say, hey, are you sure that's taken care of? And then call somebody else and say, are you sure it's taken, yeah. We can't think, though, with sin that we're going to ignore it and we're just going to get out of it. There is a bill that has to be paid. Reading in John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Most translations say a slave to sin, a slave to sin. Sin leads to bondage, not freedom. What started as a choice, it was something they wanted to just try a little bit of, and soon it's not a choice at all, but it's a chain around the neck. and they're slave to it. And they say, oh, I can stop at any time, but they don't. And now sin controls them and forces them to do whatever it wants them to do. Sin owns them. Sin promised freedom, but it produced addiction. Sin promised a fun and a party, but it produces brokenness and despair. Sin promised fulfillment, but it gave them an empty pit in their life that can never be filled. Sin doesn't just cost us, it owns us. Sometimes people will talk about leaving the church and they describe it as, well, I've got so much freedom now. When I finally left the church, now I'm free. I felt so free. And when I stopped living a holy and separated life, I felt so free. Whenever I just decided to do whatever the world was doing, I felt so free. And we read it earlier in our text, Romans 6:20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When you were the slaves of sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. In regard to righteousness and godliness and holiness, yes, you were free from those things, but that's not what we want to be free from. Come on, I don't want to be free from the presence of God. I don't want to be free from His blessings. I don't want to be free from His protection. I don't want to be free from His goodness and His peace and His mercy and love. Oh, come on. I don't want to be free from those things. I need the blessings of God. I need the hand of God upon me. I need His goodness and grace and mercy. How many people that they were trying to live for God and the enemy knew that they were struggling, and so he attacks them with everything he can, and then they finally make the choice to just give in and go along with sin. And when they turn away from the church and when they give in to backsliding, there's a momentary relief because now they're not under attack anymore. The enemy has won the battle and the pressure lets up. That momentary relief is not freedom. It's just someone who stopped fighting against the current and they just finally gave in. Now, Lord, their Lord is the enemy of this, or the Satan, God of this world. Sin leads to bondage, not freedom. He who sins is a slave to sin. Now, when we think of sin, we think of things that we shouldn't do. Murder, hate, adultery, lust, lying, stealing, cheating. But people in the church, we're actually more vulnerable sometimes to things we don't do. Look at a verse that talks about this, James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When we know what we should do, but we don't do it, for us that is sin. Wow. That's missing God's mark. What God expected from us, what God required of us. And you know, sometimes we think we're doing okay because we go down that list of things that are no-nos, you know. We don't gossip, we don't cuss, and we don't dress immodestly, we don't drink, we don't do drugs, and but what about some other things that we should do? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The rich young ruler, he came to Jesus and said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus went over the commandments, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, love thy neighbor as thyself. The rich young ruler, he was happy. He's like, well, good, man. But then read Matthew 19:21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. There was something beyond the commandments, beyond that list of sins that he should not do. There was something that the Lord required of him to do. The sin of omission, the sin of omission. And so tonight we might be thinking, well, I'm good. I'm good. I hadn't killed anybody lately. We just go down the list. Not told a lie recently, not stolen anything. So we must be good, but there is something that we know God wants us to do. And for whatever reason, we've refused. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. If what we've omitted, if what we're missing is sin to us, and if there's a cost to sin, then what we haven't done that we should do, there is a cost to that. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that says we can get away with sin. There are consequences. There are consequences. Don't believe it when he says it's a free ride. Come on, don't believe it when he says you don't have to pay the price. It's a free trial. No, there is a cost to sin, and that cost is our spiritual death, losing out with God, paying the price for eternity without God. I tell you, separated from his presence, I don't even want to think about it. The soul that sins, it shall die. An eternity in hell is the cost of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is a cost to sin, but there's something even greater tonight. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. That gift is eternal life. He's the only one that can give it. Come on, he's the only one that can give it. Wages, that's something we earn. You can't earn this thing. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. He's the only one that can give it to you. But when he gives it to you, there's nobody that can take it away. I want to encourage you tonight. Eternal life is not a paycheck. It's the grace of God at work in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is a cost of sin, but more powerful than that, there is a gift from God. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. Sin pays us what we deserve. But God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us a gift that we don't deserve. Come on, we don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We're not good enough to get it, but it's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for this gift. How is this possible? We owe a debt that we cannot pay. It's too much. We've become a slave to sin. We cannot get out of our predicament on our own. We're in too deep. And so what do? We run to Jesus. And Jesus takes our bill. He pays our debt in full. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It was for us. He suffered because of what we did wrong. He was crucified to pay for our sin. We were the ones who put him on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only one who had never sinned, he became sin for us. He wasn't guilty. We were guilty. But he was treated as if he was, because he was there in the place of the guilty one. He was there. He was standing in for us. And Jesus took our sin, but he gave us righteousness. What an exchange. We're the winner of that deal. Our sins were on Jesus, and his righteousness was on us. It's the greatest exchange that there's ever been. There was a cost of sin, but oh, thank God, There's a gift of God. There's a gift of God. Has anybody realized today we don't deserve this? We don't deserve this. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in the grave. But thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. He reached for me when I was undesirable. He saved me out of that pit of sin. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't ever want to forget the gift of God. This past week, I read a news article that it has so disturbed me. It moved me to prayer. And I hope it will you too. In the 1990s, there was a hit TV show called Married with Children. And this TV show, it was really a rebellion against the portrayal of the ideal family in previous TV shows. Using crude humor and satire, it displayed the dysfunctions of the fictional Bundy family. A crude father with a wandering eye, an indifferent wife, a promiscuous daughter, and a perverted son. What a family. Christina Applegate played the teenage daughter, and that role really launched her acting career. She recently released a memoir titled You with the Sad Eyes. That's enough to give you a burden for right there. You with the Sad Eyes. The article that I read this week, it dealt with one part of what she covered in the book, dealing with the abortion that she'd had in the 1990s. And reading from that article, Applegate, the star of the 90s hit Married with Children, revealed in her New York Times bestseller that she considered the abortion of her baby murder and even called it killing my child, and detailed her struggle with grief in the aftermath of her decision. Her memoir delves into her traumatic childhood experiences, including sexual abuse, as well as her current debilitating struggle with MS. In the audio version of her memoir, she says that she fell pregnant in April of 1991 and reads from a diary that she kept at the time of her abortion. "Well, yesterday I found out I was 6.5 weeks pregnant. I loved this being. I always felt that if I ever got pregnant, when I knew it was the wrong time, I wouldn't have any problem having an abortion. Oh, whatever. It isn't a baby yet. Expletive. This creature is incredible. Makes me feel whole, safe," she reads. Days later, another diary entry took a devastating turn. "I'm pregnant, and I'm killing my child on Thursday. I'm thinking, where can I go to recuperate from murder? His family will hate me when they find out that I killed their family member because they don't believe in it. But I can't have this baby because I have work to do to entertain the world." Applegate goes on to describe how she foresaw a future with a bill for all the guilt and unhappiness and trauma would be paid by my body. She writes, "Maybe it's just the long hours I've been spending on my bed thinking about my illness, but in reading these words from more than 3 decades ago, I find that I suffer a kind of concussive awareness of the future impact of all these dark events from my early life." She then reads another journal passage she wrote in which she predicted her guilty conscience would eventually lead to sickness. "I did know that something very dangerous was happening inside my soul, something that might one day shut off my body. The wages of sin is death." Here's someone who does not believe the way that we believe. She's lived her life for the world. She was no doubt partly responsible for leading a whole generation to rebel against traditional values, family values. But even she knows there's a cost to sin. My heart goes out to her. My heart goes out to her. And I don't know how I could ever reach her, but Christina, I prayed for you this week. Because you found out that the Word of God is true. The wages of sin is death. But Christina, there's another part I want you to know. Hallelujah. Yes, there is a cost of sin. But the gift of God. The gift of God. Oh, it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, if you only knew where to turn, if only somebody could share with you the hope that you can find in Jesus, if only you could find out like I have and like many others have found out, there is freedom. You don't have to be bound anymore. You can be free from your sin. There is a way out. Amen. And I want to say this here today. If sin is what caused her illness with MS, then freedom from sin, it can take that illness away. It can take that illness away. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ, it's greater than any sickness. It's greater than any disease. It's greater than any effect of sin. Come on, there's a cost of sin, but the gift of God, it's eternal life. Come on, has anybody found out there was a cost? There was a price to it. But Jesus shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for me. He set me free. He gave me a life. Oh, that is so blessed. Amen. Would you stand with me in closing today? I thank the Lord for his blessing. Christina, I'm going to be praying for you. I know that probably a lot of people say that, but pray, I believe the Lord hears prayers. Hallelujah. My wife and I have talked over the years about starting a celebrity outreach. You know, kind of jokingly, but for real. There's nobody who needs it more. Yeah. They've got all that the world can give them, but they're so hurting, so broken, and so empty. Britney Spears, I'm praying for you. I could just go down the line. Yeah. God forbid we don't ever pray for people like that. They're hurting. They need help. Praise the Lord. Brad Pitt. Hello, Springfield. Let's pray for Brad Pitt. That's not in my notes here. But they need prayer. If they don't change the direction they're going to hell. Help us. Closing tonight, I want you to imagine going shopping and going through the whole store and getting everything that you could ever need and a bunch of stuff that you want. Taking it all up to the counter to pay, and then when you get there, the cashier says, "Somebody already paid for this. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. In fact, if we got what we deserved, if we got what we earned, it would be death. But Jesus paid the bill." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Paul wrote to the church in Colossians, and in the NLT version it says, "He canceled the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Stop trying. to take care of a bill that Jesus already paid for. Because here's what the enemy does. He did it just the other morning to me. Here I am, hadn't even thought about something I'd done years and years ago. No telling how many times I'd repented over that. And here I am praying, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. God, please. Jesus already paid that bill. You've heard that song that says, what sin? Anybody ever heard that song? If you've not heard, it's a Christian song. When he looks at your life, when it's under the blood, he can't even, it's like he can't even see it. It's as far as the east is from the west. But the enemy wants to say, no, you still owe a bill. You're still guilty. Now, if we're guilty, we need to repent, confess it to the Lord, let God forgive us, cover us with his blood, and then we need to go on living in victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. He took the charges. He canceled those charges by nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. Stop trying to take care of a bill that Jesus already paid for. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. In closing, I wonder, can we gather around this altar right now and maybe join together and just thankful for the gift of God? Yes, yes, there was a cost of sin. Yes, there was a price to be paid, but Jesus paid it for us. Jesus made a way for us to be free. Jesus made a way. Aren't you thankful for that? We're celebrating that this weekend.